If you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, you'll all be glad to know today I'm doing a teaching called The Tough Truth About Tithing. And the doors are locked now, so nobody can get up and leave. You're actually stuck here. And this is, by the way, if you're new here or you're thinking, oh no, here it goes. This is the first teaching I've ever given on tithing on a topical Sunday morning in 12 years. Okay, so I'm just saying that because what we do here at Athey Creek is go through the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And we happen to be right here in the Bible. Now, I'm saying that not because I'm ashamed of tithing or the truth of tithing. I just haven't really talked about it because I'm waiting for it to come up in the Bible. And then also, I know that it's something that we as Christians really need to do. It's good for us and it's a blessing for us. And I'm saying that not because God has a need or anything like that. In fact, the thing is, financially, man, the Lord, He owns it all. He's not worried. He's not upset. And I'm going to hopefully touch on some of that stuff today. But, you know, the whole thing of finances, man, so many people struggle with that. The whole thing about money and all that stuff. And really, I believe the Lord has given us a fairly simple plan of how to do our money. And the Bible outlines not only how we're to spend, but how we're to give. And it's funny because I believe each one of us have within us, whether we want to admit it or not, a little built-in voice that tells us what we're doing is right or wrong. You know what I mean? Go with me to Hagen, the Hagen store, where we go shopping. There you are in that glorious aisle, the frozen foods. As you reach in, you know, you reach in and you go to grab that anointed, oh, so blessed pint. Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia. And there you are. Your hand becomes one with that pint. And until there's that little voice in your mind that says, can you really afford that? Now wait, I'm not talking, you look down at your waist and say, no, I can't. No, I'm talking about, hey, that's premium ice cream, man. Now, just down the road, there's some cheapo, you know, my dad, by the way, you know that Good Day ice cream, the stuff that's in the box, the little, my dad, I'm not kidding you, for as long as I can remember growing up, he doesn't do it anymore as of just a couple years ago, but every night he would take a full half gallon of ice cream, and he would pour a bunch of Hershey syrup on it, and he'd eat the whole thing every night. Now you got to understand, my dad's ripped. He's a thin, in shape guy, unlike his son. And I don't know how he could. I guess he worked hard every day and just kind of burned it all off. But the thing is, you know, there's cheaper ice cream, so there's a little voice inside that says, "Can you really afford something?" Thinking, "Oh man," and you put it down and you walk down and you're walking out of that frozen food section until you see the Dove bars. Dove bars. Yes, Lord, I'm hearing you. I know you want me to take the Dove bar and just eat it and rejoice and worship you with all my heart in the delight of the Dove bar. It's the Holy Spirit. Well, no, that's just you. That's just you. Just you wanting some ice cream. Now, those are the small little decisions where you hear that little still small voice in your head. Then we go, to the car lot, say. You go to the car lot and you're there to get a used car, but man, those salesmen, they somehow get you in the new car and leather. There's nothing like that new smell of leather, a new car, and oh man, you just think this would be so great, and he starts convincing you, and you know, as he's telling you, man, you can lease this baby, and pretty soon you're in the room signing papers for a $900 a month lease, and they want you to only simply have one thing of collateral, your firstborn child. Now, wait a minute. You're saying, oh, there's a voice in my head, I can't do this. $900, this is crazy. I can't do this. And there's that little voice that tells you, I can't afford this. But it's amazing, the battle, the wrestling that we have sometimes. Or if you go to that hardware heaven, the Home Depot, and you go down the tool aisle, and there, you know, the guys, you know what I'm talking about. Every guy needs a good air compressor. I mean, air compressors, you know, I just like saying pneumatic. Come on. I mean, the tools are great. And you know, you never know when your tires might be flat. And come on, honey, you know, the tires can go flat on the car. And you need to have a good air compressor. And then there's that voice of reason that might not just be your wife's, but your that little voice inside you saying you don't need the huge air compressor. And it's a tough one because you really, really want those things. But that little voice, I believe each one of us have that built in. The Lord has built into us a conscience to know what to do with spending. We kind of know, but it's our flesh that overwhelms us and we think, oh man, I really want that thing. And so we live in a society where not only are we buying things, but that instant gratification where a man will just spend on credit cards. You know, when you enter into college, you college students know what I'm talking about. As soon as you go into college, you get a barrage of letters from the credit card companies saying, you can have free money. And pretty soon there's college students that have $20,000 or $30,000 of credit on 18 to 22% credit, interest rate. And they're never going to pay it off. Now, here's the thing. The Lord gives us a knower, a thinker, a conscience, and He wants us to use it. But not just in the area of spending, but I believe before you can be really effective in spending, one of the things the Bible teaches, more than on spending, it teaches us on how to give back to the Lord that which is already His. We have that situation here in Malachi chapter 3. In fact, the people of Israel, as we read on Wednesday night, they were being challenged by the Lord through the prophet Malachi. And it starts out saying, the Lord told the people, I have loved you. And the people said, wherein did you love us? The people kind of have a bad attitude we saw on Wednesday night as we looked at chapter 1. And then the Lord said that you've despised my name. And they said, wherein did we despise your name? And the Lord told them there at the place of offering as they were bringing their sacrifices to the Lord. They were bringing the blind and crippled animals and the worst of the flock. They were given their leftovers, their even their trash. They were given to the Lord. And the Lord says, you've despised my name by doing this. You see, before you get too upset and everybody's, you know, in fact, even right now, I know there's some people, Brett, I brought a friend to church today. And I told them, we never talk about tithing, ever. Never. And here I am, and your face is getting red right now, and your friend's going, no, right, see, I told you, it's all these churches talking about tithing. No, no, no. Now, first of all, I need to tell you, I do have some disclaimers that I'd like to kind of perhaps go over with you before I get into the thick of this. First of all, I want to tell you that, number one, and jot these disclaimers down, because it might be good for you to know, and especially if you consider yourself an athe-creaker, you know, someone who's plugged into our church here and a part of our fellowship, jot this one down. Number one, Athe Creek is not broke. Nor is the Lord. You know, it's not the Lord going, oh man, please give. Give till it hurts because I need to have more money to keep the stars in the sky. No, no, no. The Lord, the Bible says He's the owner of cattle on a thousand hills. The Lord is the one who owns it all. In fact, everything that you have, believe it or not, that's the Lord's. And He can give it to you and He can take it away just as quickly as He's given it to you. And the Bible tells us that. So really, it's all the Lord's. So what in the world's going on? Is Athe Creek in trouble? Brett, I've heard somewhere that you guys are even doing a building project. It's funny how people say, you know, they come and tell me, you know, so when are you guys going to build? And these are people that go to our church. Well, we're doing it right now. And it's great because really it's not the big push. You don't see the thermometer in the back because I don't think that the Lord is broke. I really don't think the Lord is broke. I think He's going to provide. And what we're doing, it may take a long time. It might take 30 years. I don't know. But I believe, and the elders of this fellowship believe, that if the church does what the Bible tells us to do in our tithes and in our offerings, that building will be built. I don't believe we need to do fundraisers or pledge drives or any of that stuff. And man, as long as the church is faithful, we're not worried. The Lord's not thinking, oh no, how am I going to build that church? It's not that at all. So understand, Athe Creek is not broke. That's not why I'm teaching on tithing. Again, I'm teaching on this because we're going through the Bible. Next week, we'll be finished with the Old Testament. That's going to be an amazing thing. Starting the New Testament the following week, Matthew, there next Sunday. But all that to say, we have this passage, and I want to show you how great it is. So understand, point number one, divine disclaimer number one, Athe Creek is not broke. But divine disclaimer number two, and that is, I'm aware of the abuses. I'm aware of the abuses. I want you to know that this pastor understands that a lot of you have come from churches or backgrounds where people have pushed it. And even some of you maybe to crazy levels. I've seen the craziest of levels. In fact, on both sides, I've seen the people who believe in just having nothing and walking around with just burlap on and driving an old, you know, beat up car. And you never would want to try to do better than that, just to live in poverty. And really, that's kind of an extreme. But in the same way, I heard a pastor recently who said that that he drives a Rolls Royce and that everyone in his congregation should drive Rolls Royces. And if you believe God, as he says, then you can just drive your Rolls Royce. And that's an extreme wrong in the other direction. You know, the Bible talks about all things in moderation. And so many people have made this really big mistake with money. And I heard, this one kind of cracked me up, down in Florida, there's a church that does lotto tithe. And what they do, this is a true story, this church, I didn't believe it, but it actually, I confirmed it, this church does lotto tithe, and that is they pass the tithes and offerings, and the deacons, you know, or whatever, collect all the tithes and offerings, and they make sure you write it in a check form, and then they put it in a big cage, round cage, and the pastor spins it up in front of the church. And as he's spinning it, he spins it where it's nice and mixed up, and then he reaches in and pulls out a check, and the person who wins, the person who's checked, he will double your money, and he'll give it back to you twice what you gave. Now here's what, wait a minute, here's what troubles me. I see some of you guys laughing, but I see some of you guys going, hey, that'd be kind of cool. No, that's terrible. No, that's not what the tithe is, lotto tithe. Another abuse I've seen is where people call you, the congregation, tithing units. Have you guys ever heard of that? That you are simply a tithing unit, and that's why we hope you're here, because you are a tithing unit. And if your family comes, then that means you are representing your family in tithes and offerings, and we can do this and that and the other thing. You know what? You're not a tithing unit. That's abusive, if you ask me. You're a person who loves the Lord and is coming to worship God. And you have needs, but you also have opportunity to minister and serve. And it's what the Lord, He uses each person here. You're not some tithing unit. And there's books written. George Barna and the gang years ago did a book called Marketing the Church. And man, it hit the ground running and churches jumped on board. But I'm telling you, it's just wrong. It's just simply wrong. The Bible makes it clear. And I believe that many of the things you'll hear and people passing the bucket five times before the service is over, I've actually heard of four times. One person went to a service down in Texas where they passed the bucket four times. The reason why, they just didn't have enough money and they said, well, we're going to pass it again. And we're not letting you go until we pass the bucket one more time. You know, and that's just abusive. It's wrong. But Brett, the guy, he took off his glasses and he looked straight into the camera. He said, you know, if you don't give, this ministry's going down. And we need you to give or else we're going to have to shut it down. And my word to that is shut her down. If God's not in it, close the doors. Shut it down. You see, you know, I believe when God guides, He provides. And you don't have to beg for money and hope that it gets up. And you don't have to see the pastor crying in front of the congregation. It's all just these antics that pastors and some televangelists and stuff people use, and I think it's just abusive and wrong. So I want you to understand, I understand that. And that's why I probably, if I do make a mistake, it's probably on the other side where I've avoided the topic altogether. But today I can't, and you'll see why as we get into it. But also another disclaimer, a divine disclaimer. Ready? Number three. I don't know how much money you give. I want to make that really clear to this congregation. I do not know how much, and I never have. Not one time since I've been here have I ever looked at tithes or offerings, handled tithe. In fact, if you've come up to me and say, hey, Brett, I've got my tithe here. Can you take that and, you know, do whatever? And I'll say, no, I cannot take that. And you'll say, why? Because I just don't want to know anything. I don't want to touch money. Don't want to look at it. Now, I know how much money the church, the income of the church is. I know the number, the general number. But those of you that give, wait, I protest. I have given a lot to this church. And I think it's important for the pastor to know, you know, that we're committed to this church. Now, that's just Christian shrouding for saying, you better kind of minister to me a little extra special. Because I'm giving more than everybody else here, you know. And so, Pastor Brett, you know, if I call you. Now, here's the thing. If you're a person who doesn't give very much, and you don't get a call, you're like, well, maybe if I gave more, Brett would call me back. No, you know what? I don't call anybody back. It's great. No, just kidding. Little humor. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't know what you give. If you're a big giver or whatever, and there's a reason for that. Number one, I believe that James tells me as a pastor in James chapter 2 that I'm not supposed to be partial. In fact, there's kind of a funny little scripture there. You don't need to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. It kind of cracks me up. It says this. It says, "For if there be or come to your assembly a man with gold rings..." Well, let me back up. It says, "My brothers, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons." In other words, don't be a respecter of persons. "For if there comes into your congregation a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing..." It's a little King James language there. You're saying gay clothing. Is that okay? No. "That wears gay clothing, and saith unto him, sit thou here, I'm in a good place, and say to the poor man, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts?" You see, James says that the big pitfall in the assembly of church is when we start looking at each other's clothes and how we're dressed and where you sit, and you know having a set of place of prominence. Now, as concerning your giving, the Bible declares, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's to be secret. So the person that says, "Well, but Brett, I've been given so much." You're not given to me, and you're definitely not given to the church. You are, according to the Bible, giving to the Lord, as we shall see in our text here that we're going to read. So understand, I've never looked at that, and I can say that as God is my witness, as the elders know, I've never looked at that. There's no way, and I don't want to. Disclaimer number four. This is a message for Christians. This is a message for Christians. If you're not a Christian, if you're here because somebody kind of dragged you here, or you just sort of wanted to come and check out this church or whatever, man, you have to understand, for you to give, it really is not fruitful at all. And I would say, don't, please don't, because, again, you're not giving for any other reason. The only reason somebody really should have to give at this church is because they want to draw close to the Lord and worship Him in the way the Bible tells us to. We don't need your money. We're not asking for your money. We are asking people to follow God's Word. That's all we're doing. And anybody who wants to be a believer and follow Christ, this message is for you. But if you're not a believer, man, don't give. Don't waste your money. It's not the point. And that's an important disclaimer there as well. So, those four things particularly. Athey Creek's not broke. We believe that God, when He guides, He provides. And He has. The Lord has been faithful to provide. I have to say, there's times where the elders, we pray, and think, oh no. You know, there's been a few times where we thought, oh, this is getting a little tight right now. And the Lord continues to show up and continues to, you know, be there. And we thank the Lord for that. We've never had to say, oh no, we're going to shut it down or anything like that. Now, we're not broke, and I'm aware of the abuses, and also I have no idea how much you give, and this is not a message for the non-believer, but a message for the believer. Are you guys with me? Okay, here we go. Malachi chapter 3. Let's take a look, because this is sort of one of the helpful passages in the Bible that deals with giving, particularly tithes and offerings. We'll start in verse 7. It says in verse 7, "Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return?" These people are pretty bold. The Lord's saying, I want you to return to me. Why would He say that? Get back here right now. No. The Lord is lovingly wooing a rebellious children back to Him. He's saying, I want you to return to me. And if you return to me, I will return to you. Man, that's one of the great truths of the Bible. I don't care how bad you've been or how far you've been the prodigal. Every time you read in the Bible of God being in a hurry, it's only of one thing, and that is to forgive the sinner who went away from God. God, the only time you see Him in a hurry there in the story of the prodigal, where the son was coming back, and while he was a great distance off, the father saw him and ran out to meet him. That's the person who God will be in a hurry for. The person who's just coming back broken, repentant, sorry for the sins that they've committed. And so, man, understand this. These people were far away, and the Lord is lovingly wooing them back, saying, if you return to me. It's kind of like that passage in the New Testament of James where it says, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. What is it in human nature that makes us stay away from God for any reason? You know, we think, well, I'm just going to wallow in my sins just for a little longer, you know, and sort of wait till I'm really seriously, really repentant, and then maybe I'll go back to the Lord. Can I warn against that? Because the longer you stay away from the Lord, the longer you're going to be in pain and suffering and despair. But man, with the Lord, there's strength and blessing to be found. Well, these people, the Lord's saying, I want you to return to me. Now, here's the thing. You say, Brett, what does this have to do with money? Well, the Lord is going to now tell us how he wants his people to return to him. After telling them of all the troubles that we read about on Wednesday night and some of the other ones we're going to read about this Wednesday night, the people were, all kinds of divorce was happening in that culture in that time. They were remarrying into these pagan cultures and worshiping false idols and gods. They were intermarrying. They also defiled the priesthood. And the worship there in the temple. They were neglecting and hurting, oppressing the poor. And these people were far from God. And God says, I want you to return to me. But here's the thing. There is a link of returning to the Lord. There is a link with your money. Or as I should say, the money that God has given to you or entrusted you with. There's a link. See, this idea of returning to me, well, where did we leave you, they would say, or how do we return? Wherein shall we return? And the Lord's going to tell them, and it's going to have to do with their pocketbook. It was D.L. Moody that said, I can tell more about your faith better than looking in your Bible and seeing how many notes you've written in there. Let me see your checkbook, and that will tell me about your walk with the Lord. There is something true about that. Jesus declared, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In fact, let me read to you. That whole passage, it's kind of an important one. It says, and you can just jot this down, Matthew 6:19, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, not treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See, Jesus made it clear, saying that your treasure, your money, the things that you value in life, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And that's just a truth of God's word. And so here, he's saying what we need. Number one, if you're taking notes, there's, I guess, four things that we're going to look at in this passage. Number one, what we need, That is to return to the Lord. And he's going to tell us how we are going to do it. And it has to do with our ability to give. And to tithe and give offerings, Lord. We're going to see that here in a second. Now let me sort of give you the precursor of all this. There is something about where your treasure is, there's your heart. And that's the way our culture, our society, our relationships work. It's kind of like this, guys. If you go to your wives and you tell your wife today, honey, I love you. And your wife's touched. Wow, my husband told me he loves me. That's great. Wow. And you're touched. That's great. But then your birthday rolls around. Let's say next week your birthday, and he comes up, and you're kind of excited because it's your birthday. Maybe he's got you, get you something really cool. And he walks up to you, and he grabs you by the hand and says, honey, I love you. And you're like, oh, thanks. But that's it. No present. Now, guys, highly recommended, don't do that. Valentine's Day comes along, and you just come up to your wife, and you say, honey, I love you, and happy Valentine's. But, you know, Valentine's kind of a Hallmark holiday, and I just like telling you I love you, and I'm not going to get you any chocolates or roses or anything like that. Just I love you. By this time, gals, you're kind of thinking, something's up here. What's wrong? Well, then Christmas comes. You're thinking, well, this is where the mother load's coming. This is where I'm going to get the big gift because he didn't give me anything for my birthday, nothing for Valentine's Day. Man, Christmas, here it comes. And he walks up and stands by the Christmas tree and says, honey, I love you. And that's all we really need. Now, wait a minute. By this time, you might, guys, duck. At this point, you need to duck. Because that's just, why? It's because there's something about us giving to the other person, giving something of substance, giving something of value that actually proves that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. And if there's no treasure, if there's no substance, it's just words, then pretty soon our wives would be suspicious, thinking, do you really? Is there really a love relationship here? There's no substance, it's just words. In the same way, I wonder how many Christians, we come to church, I love you, Lord, and we sing every Sunday, and we worship, and we tell the Lord how much we love, but there's actually no real substance. Well, that was the problem with these people. They were going through the motions of worship, bringing their blemished sheep to worship and sacrifice on the altar. And the Lord's saying, I see that. And you're very, very far from me. And the Lord's saying, I want you to draw back close to me. I want there to be substance. And so that's where we pick it up in verse 8. It says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Again, the people being kind of smart aleck, you know, wherein did you love us? And where did we defile the priesthood? And they're asking, well, Lord, when did we rob you? How can a person rob God? And that's what they're asking. They're saying, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord answers in verse 8 at the end, he says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. The nation of Israel had stopped giving of the tithe and the offering. Now, let's pause for a moment and help define some of these things. First of all, we looked at number one in verse 7. We saw that what we need is to draw near to the Lord. What we need. But number two is what we've done. What we've done? Yeah, it's what we've done. That is, we've robbed God whenever we choose to not give back to the Lord that which is already His, the tithe and the offering. And that's why we need to define these two words, tithe and offering. The word tithe, jot it down in your notes. Right next to it, you can write the word tenth. That's what the word tithe means, tenth, one-tenth. In the Bible, there's this concept of giving back to the Lord, the tithe, and it was meant to be the first fruit of what we make of our income. Whether it was money or whether it was your grain and your crop back in the Bible days, you were to give one-tenth of that grain or that crop to the Lord. Of your flocks and herds, if you were counting your sheep, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10, okay, this one goes to the Lord. Or actually, it should be 1 goes to the Lord, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The first one, oh, but Brett, that was my blue ribbon lamb, old Bessie. And that's number one. Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be according to the Bible. When we read in Leviticus and other passages of the Bible, the Lord defined according to the law what the tithe was supposed to be for the Jews in Israel. Now here, he's telling the Jews, man, you've robbed me and that you've not given me the tithe, the tenth, and the offering. Now let me just make a point here. Some people say, well, Brett, that's an Old Testament law. That's not something we would have to do. And honestly, I would say that's absolutely correct. You do not have to tithe. It doesn't mean whether you're going to go to heaven or not. Is it a sin not to tithe? Yes, the word sin just means to miss the mark. I believe tithing is for today. And it's something we get to do. It's not something you have to do. It should be driven by this relationship with the Lord. That's the point. See, I think pastors make a mistake when they say, the Bible says you need to give a tenth. And if you're not giving a tenth, we're going to be knocking on your door saying, why didn't you tithe? There are denominations and even cults that do that. If you don't tithe the tenth, then they will knock on your door until they get your tithe. Now you say, Brett, well then we're free, right? We can do whatever we want. Well, I believe the Bible gives us a godly parameter of what giving should look like. The tithe is talked about more than just the Old Testament law. See, the people that say it's just the Old Testament law, we're not under that law. It's true, we're not. But did you know that the tithe actually preceded the law? Jot it down. Genesis chapter 14. You remember Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of righteousness, as he's called? Melchizedek was this, I don't have time to go into the whole story, but this pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, perhaps. Minimally, it was a type or a picture of Jesus Christ. But there Abraham comes and falls down and worships old Melchizedek, the king of Salem. And there, the king of Salem had bread and wine, speaking of communion. It's a great story there in Genesis 14. But we're told that Abraham gave to Melchizedek as he worshiped him, which no other king in the world was supposed to receive worship. The Lord made that clear. But Abraham worships him. Why? Because I believe it's very likely is Christ there in the Old Testament. The Bible says of Melchizedek, he had no father and mother. He was always around. And there's some interesting mystery around the king of Salem, who was also the high priest unto the Lord. But all that's to say, Abraham gave to Melchizedek a tithe, a tenth of all that he had. Just like the law would later come in and say. Not only does the tithe precede the law, but we also see that Jesus condoned tithing even when he was walking on the earth in the New Testament. Let me read to you from Matthew 23:23. It says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and of anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone." What's that? The Lord says, you hypocrites, the Pharisees, what are you guys doing? There they were with their little spice rack at their house. And they're taking their little stick and separating all their pepper. Okay, white pepper and pepper, and counting out their peppers. Why? To make sure that the Lord got exactly one-tenth of their pepper. And they would take all their little seeds of their spices, and they'd count them out and say, okay, this tenth is the Lord's. And the Lord's saying, you guys have missed the whole point. But you say, Brett, it seems like the Lord is almost like not really caring about tithing there. Oh, but what does he say at the end? He says, you forget the weightier matters, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you have to done. But then he says, but not to leave the other, tithing, undone. In other words, tithing is still something the Lord was into. Not only that, Jesus watched as people gave as they came into the temple. Remember that story of the widow giving her mite? And Jesus didn't look at how much they gave, he just noticed how they gave. And he condoned the woman who gave with the right heart, with the right mind. That's a whole nother thing. So the idea of giving, it's not just Brett, I happen to agree with you that the giving in general, but tithing's an Old Testament concept. Now here's why people say that. The reason that people get away from the word tithe, because they know it means tenth. And usually that means they don't want to give a 10% to the Lord. That's the bottom line. Well, I just don't see any model necessarily of the tithe really given in the New Testament. It is the one I showed you, Matthew 23:23. But if you really want a model to follow in the New Testament, there is probably the biggest model we have is Acts chapter 4. What happened? All the people sold all their possessions, liquidated everything and made cash. And then they laid it all down at the apostles' feet and gave it all to the church. Oh, all except for Ananias and Sapphira. If you remember that, they withheld some. And they died. So if you want to have that be your model, the New Testament model, then you need to sell all your possessions. See, people that get all self-righteous, well, I just don't really see that in the New Testament. It's actually quite worse. The tithe is looking quite a bit better now to me. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't move in the same way he did in that day where you know, the congregation like Ananias and Sapphira, you know, we sing that song, I surrender all of a sudden. I surrender all. Because why? Because the Lord doesn't move in that same way. But Ananias and Sapphira, they dropped dead because they didn't give all their stuff. That's the New Testament story. I believe the Lord says, I want you to give a tithe of all that you have. And it's all throughout the Bible. You've robbed me, the Lord says here in Malachi, that you have not given to me the tithe, which is the tenth, and the offering. Now it's funny how Christians give. They come in and they think, well, I'm going to give the Lord a little fiver. And the offering comes by and you throw in a $5. And man, if that's a tithe of what you've made, then great. That's great. The Lord will provide for you and he will bless that $5. But that's more of a five for most of us. Not a tithe, a five. That's not a tithe. You see, the tithe is a tenth. Now it's interesting. The Lord kind of makes that equal all across the boards. If you make $2 million this year, you think, oh man, a tithe, ooh. But if you make $15,000 this year, you're like, ooh, a tithe, ooh. It's all the same. The 10% across the boards, that's what the Lord's saying. I want you to give back to me a tithe, one-tenth. And why is the Lord into that? Is he broke? Well, I've already made that point. He's not broke. What is he trying to do with us? Does he need our money? No. Does Athey Creek need our money? No. The Lord is the one who provides for us. The Bible declares, and I rest greatly in this, you never see me stressed out about money. I'll tell you why. Because I believe my God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. And God is rich. I'm not worried about it. I really am not. Well, then why does the Lord even want our tithes to begin with if God is so able to provide? Well, it's very simple. He wants you to be developed into the person He wants you to be. You parents know what I'm talking about. What would happen if you went into your kid's room, let's say, you know, a 5-year-old, 4-year-old kid, you handed him a big old bag, and the kid's like, what's in there? And he opens it up, 100 pieces of Hershey's Kisses. Hershey's Kisses, 100. Man, you shouldn't give a kid that. Yeah, but the kid's eyes light up. And oh man, he's there and he grabs the bag and runs into his room and slams the door, bolts the door shut, and begins to stuff his face full of Hershey's Kisses. Now, a few minutes later, you walk into the room as a parent who wants to teach your kid moderation and a heart to give up and share. And so wanting to build in those traits that's good for a 5-year-old. Well, you say, now Junior, Johnny, or whatever the name is, Johnny, I want you to give me 10 of those back. Now, Johnny looks at you with disdain, disgust. But wait, you're the one who gave him the 100 pieces. Asking for 10 back is not a big deal. In fact, it's probably going to help the kid get less cavities. And not, you know, it's an unhealthy thing. Huh? But you say, but give back 10 to your dad. He says, well, Dad, here's one. Here's one back for you. I want to keep my 10. Now, do you really want one? Are you really interested in one? No. You don't care about the Hershey's Kisses. You're just saying, well, maybe you are, but you just really want to build into your kids that ability to give back. Even though you were so benevolent and big-hearted and gave them 100, you want them to learn it's good to give back a 10. But he stubbornly says, well, here's one. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to reward that as a parent? Okay, thanks for the one. Go out the door. And then the next day, come in with another bag of 100. Say, here's 100. And can you give me one again? And then would you come back in with 200 a few days later? And say, here's 200. Can I have two? No. That's not helping your kid with anything. And yet, isn't it interesting? How are we doing? When the Lord gives you 100% of your income, and in His Word asks for the tithe back, and we give one back, not a tenth or a tithe. We give one back. The Lord said, it's not really what I was looking for. And I don't need your one. I'm interested in your heart and you drawing close to me and just being an obedient child and giving me the 10 that I've asked for. But Lord, you don't even need it. He's asking for it. He's asking from us to give the tenth, the tithe. And He's asking for us to give it to Him before anything else. It's the first fruits, the Bible teaches. The Lord says, you've robbed me and that you've not given your tithe and your offering. Now, here's the problem. Our little buddies come into our bedroom and want some of the candy. Our buddies, who are they? Home Depot. It's amazing how easy it is to get a card and start spending those Hershey's Kisses. You know what I'm saying? And spending them out. And man, that goes first, right? Home Depot, then you got your Sears appliances that you got, and you got to make that payment. Oh, and then there's that car. Oh, that car. Yeah, maybe it's not the new one I was talking about before, but you paid $8,000 for a $4,000 car. Do you know what I'm talking about? How can you do that, Brett? Oh, it's real simple today. It's those guys on the radio that say, man, you can walk away today with this new car. No money down, no money down, no money down. And they don't, all these people are like, wow, no money down, no money down. And they go in and they pay, but they don't realize they're paying twice or more than what the car's even worth. And sadly, I bet you there's people in this room, I know this might hurt a little bit, but it's just true, that there's people that are upside down in their car payment. Why? If they tried to sell their car today, they can't get what it's worth. They can't get enough money to really pay off what they owe. So they gotta own it and stick with it. See, oh, but Brett, I would tithe. I really would. I've had people come up and say, Brett, I would tithe. Like they know what they're giving. Like a lot of people think I really do know. And every time they come to church, they're like, oh, Brett must think I'm just not very nice because I don't tithe. I don't know. Now, some of you are sitting there going, oh, that's great. You mean I can go to church here and Brett will never know. I can act all benevolent. And, hey, Brett, we're really with you on that building project and what's going on in the church. But there, you never know. No, the Lord, this is all about the Lord. It has nothing to do with us, building project. The Lord is saying, I want that tithe. But the sad thing is, we get so upside down in all the money that goes first. The Bible tells us He wants the first fruits. And honestly, Deb and I, as years have gone by, you know, I'm thankful that I had parents that taught me this at a very young age. My very first, income as a little kid doing chores around the house, my parents were very careful to say, now this is your income and you need to take 1/10. And they showed me how to use the calculator as a little kid, you know, to find 10% and give that to the Lord. And every Sunday I'd bring my little pennies in and drop them in the offering. And that was just something that we did. Now parents, you can really help your kids on this because when you're a little kid and that's all you learn and grow, you know, you really don't know anything else. Honestly, tithing is not, I'm not trying to toot my horn or anything like that. Tithing is not an issue for me because I've never known anything else. You know, the problem is when you've never done it, we think our income is this much and then to think, I'm going to get a 10% pay cut. Well, you can't look at it that way. It's already the Lord's. Now there's blessing that's coming from this. We'll talk about that in a second. But the problem is with this idea of us holding it back, we're being the stingy kids that are saying, you can have one back maybe, Lord, once in a while. Lord's saying, I'm not interested in the one. Now, here the Lord says, you've robbed me in the tithes and the offering. By the way, the average Protestant today, just some interesting statistics, is robbing God, according to stats. Because if you average out all the Protestant people who go to church regularly, these are people that attend church every Sunday, he gives only 3% of his income. And 1/10 of 1% He gives only 3% of his income to the church and 1/10 of 1% to other charities and missions and things like that. More money is spent on the care of feeding pets in the church than is given to the charities in the United States. That's interesting. People spend, the Protestant church spends more money on their pets than they do than what they give of the tithe to the Lord. That's a fact. That's kind of scary. Now you're saying, yeah, but we like Fido bread. I'm not nothing against our pets, but just what are we doing? How does this happen? Upside down car payments, Visa bills, things start to dictate where our money goes. Now, in 1955. Americans spent 7% of their annual income on luxury items. 7%. Things that they didn't need, things that they wanted to have that were kind of luxury, things that were just kind of extracurricular, things that were not mandatory. 7% in 1955. Today, people spend 35 to 40% of their annual income on luxury items. We live in a time where, man, we can get what we want. And the problem is spending that much, 35 to 40%, sadly, our culture is in deep, deep debt. And because of debt, the idea of tithing has become really difficult. Well, Brett, do I pay my bills or do I give to the Lord? And it's because of our own spending habits, we've made it almost impossible for ourselves to tithe and give to the Lord. It always is interesting to me when people say, you know, again, thinking that I know that they're not giving or something like that. They come up to me, but we would tithe, but oh man, we got so many bills. Like that makes it okay. And sadly, I'm not judging them or anything like that. I just kind of feel bad because they're missing out on one of the biggest blessings that the Lord puts out. What kind of blessing is it? Oh, we'll get to that. So what have we done? If we're not careful, we have robbed God. It's the Lord's. All the money you make is the Lord's. He just wants a tenth back. That's what he asks. So what we need is to draw close to the Lord. How do we do it? We need to give and give back to the Lord that which is. What we've done, we've robbed God. Now, number three, as we continue through this passage, what we do or what we should do. It says there, as we continue in verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes, tenths, into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour out unto you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let me read you this verse from Malachi 3:10 from the New Living. I like this New Living translation. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it unto you. That's the Lord speaking. You see, this idea of bringing the tithes, there's a couple lessons we learn from this verse. Where are we to bring the tithe? Now, I know this might rub some people the wrong way, and it's coming from a pastor of a church. I know you might think that I'm biased on this. But biblically, where do we give the tithe? Do we give it to World Vision? Do we give it to the Focus on the Family Foundation? Do we give it to Young Life or YWAM Missions? Where do we give the tithe? Biblically, you're to bring the tithe into the storehouse. And in the New Testament, the Lord even kind of tells us sort of where that storehouse is. In fact, 1 Corinthians, it's kind of interesting. It kind of talks about that a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 16, let me read it to you. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. In other words, according to how much the Lord has given you, a tenth is the idea, that there be no collections or gatherings when I come. So what did the church do? That they would give the money during the time of worship. On the first day of the week, they would give the tithe weekly. Now, for me, giving needs to be to the church, the tithe. But see, that's where the word offering comes in. Anything that's over and beyond that tithe, that can go wherever you want it to go. Anything over and beyond. But wherever you are fed, wherever you attend, man, that is where I believe you are to tithe. And it's not a tithe if you're not giving to the institution that the Lord has ordained. Nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament or in the Old, do you see people giving to organizations outside of the church. Now, Brett, are you saying you're not behind those organizations? No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if you're supporting those organizations, that's great. But it needs to not be the tithe. The tithe goes to the storehouse. Goes to the place where worship ascends. Now, let me just say a little personal comments on that. You know, people say, but Young Life is doing a great thing. Now, where did Young Life come from? By the way, I almost worked for Campus Life, which was a kind of a group similar to Young Life. Before I started working at a church when I was young, they asked me to come on staff at Campus Life. I love the ministry. Great stuff. Working with kids. You can't beat it. But at the same time, you want to know why Campus Life, Young Life surfaced? Because back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, the church was choking. They weren't doing the job for youth. Church became a place where only the gray hairs were going. And none of the kids, they were saying, we're out of here, man, this is no fun. And what a cool thing it was when Young Life, Campus Life came in and said, man, we're going to pick it up because the church isn't doing it. And they did a good job. Now, is that the best model, though? No, I believe the best model is like the Bible talks about, that it should all be done through the church. Same with missions. The church stopped doing missions, so there were mission organizations that just took it up and did a great job. Mission organizations like Wycliffe, Bible Translators, and YWAM, and others. Man, they picked it up. But it's still in the Bible that the church, not parachurch, the church was supposed to do those things. But here's the problem. Now, the church, because they dropped the ball in days of old. Now people are given to all these other organizations for even their tithe or any of their money. And now the church struggles again, but for the wrong reasons. I'm so thankful for our youth ministry, man. We've got Big Jim there and Sarah and Amy and, you know, Abe and the gang. Man, we've got such a cool group in there leading our high school group. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, as a pastor, I want to see our high school group just knock down, drag out fun and biblical and kids growing up in the things of the Lord. And man, I want to invest in our kids. I really do. Athey Creek wants to pour into our kids. But if you're giving to Young Life, you're kind of hurting what the church is doing. Now you're saying, Brett, I can't give to Young Life. No, not of the tithe. I believe biblically you're to give the tithe to the storehouse, to the place where ministry is to spring from. Well, I don't like that, Brett. Then you can do that if you want. I'm not trying to overlord or tell you exactly what you have to do. I'm just sharing from a biblical perspective. This is what I believe the Bible teaches. Anything that you give over and beyond the tithe, man, that's where you can totally bless Young Life and Focus on the Family or whatever other parachurch organizations are out there. That's great. Support them. But the tithe belongs to the Lord. And I just believe that's what the Bible teaches. I'm sorry if that offends you, but I would challenge you to search the scriptures and see if what I'm saying is true. So all this is to say, what are we to do? We're to bring the tithes into the storehouse, right there in verse 10. And also 1 Corinthians 16:2 tells us they were to bring them weekly. You know, I get paid once a month. But Deb and I, we, at the very first section, when we get our paycheck, we break off 10% of that. And we write out checks right there, the first point. And we like to write out four checks. And I'll tell you why. Because the first part goes to the Lord. But I'll tell you why four. Because we love to give during times of worship. It's an act. And I'm not trying to toot my horn or anything like that. I'm just saying this is healthy church life. One of my favorite things to do is to just come to the Lord on a Sunday morning with you guys and just drop it into the offering and say, Lord, this is yours. And man, this is an act of worship. And this is part of our worship service here. And I'm not just saying, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. But I'm not in just spirit worshiping Him, but also indeed I'm able to say, Lord, I love you. Bam. And there it is. And that's why we do the four checks, because it's part of our weekly worship. That's what they did. 1 Corinthians 16 says that they came weekly in the first day of the week and gave and took the collection. And I think that's an important thing, to spread it out that way. Now, it says bring all the tithes in the storehouse. And then notice here, there's something that's kind of amazing here. The Lord says, prove me now. Or as some of your translations say, test me, try me. In other words, the Lord is saying, you give. Now you just check and see if I'm not faithful. And you just check and see if I'm not going to keep things flowing to you back that way. See, the sad thing is how many people in our fellowship, and we do bump into this all the time, struggle financially. Man, they're up to their nose in bills and debt. And so they never have enough to make that tithe and offering. And they continue to wonder, why are we struggling financially? Why does it seem like our money, as soon as we get it, it's just gone? It's devoured up. Well, chances are, if that's you're living paycheck to paycheck, chances are that you're not learning those simple principles of tithing and just testing the Lord. The Lord says, prove me on this one. Now, there's so many things I could do here to embarrass people by shows of hands, but let me do an easy one that won't embarrass anybody. Those that have you guys found that when you give to the Lord, when you tithe the Lord, how many of you guys have found that God, shockingly, you can't outgive God? How many of you guys have found that to be true? Yeah, me too. It's so true. And yet we know that. We all know that. But then when it gets down to the nitty gritty, oh, I don't know, Lord. I remember Deb and I, we went through a season as a youth pastor, man, mean and lean. We were doing the top ramen. It's amazing how many things you can cook with top ramen. The noodles, and you use the spices for other things cooking. And, you know, Deb and I were kind of in this mean and lean season. But there was only really one time I can remember thinking, man, even though it was ingrained in me, the tithe belongs to the Lord. We were so behind this particular season that Deb and I kind of thought, man, does the Lord want us just to keep the tithe this time and make sure and pay these bills? And you know, we were thinking, Lord, we don't want to be bad stewards of, you know, the things that we already owe. And we weren't knee deep in debt or anything like that. It was just mean and lean. But the Lord just revealed to us and said, man, the first tithe belongs to the Lord. And I remember this season where Deb and I just had to kind of, with shaking hand, but joy in our hearts, saying, Lord, this is yours. And we gave it to the Lord. But man, the Lord showed up so miraculously. This is the way it works. You get some check in the mail that you had no idea was coming. You know, somebody comes along and drops a letter off in your door and there's no name on it. And the Lord just provides the money. Like, I can't tell you how many times Deb and I, the math didn't work out. But the Lord just absolutely worked it out. Not only barely, but over and beyond what we could have ever imagined or even thought of. The Lord says, test me on this one. Try me. See if what my Bible says, what my word is saying is true. And man, I would challenge you to do the same. Give to the Lord what is His. But Brett, I like my kisses, my Hershey's. And you don't understand, I've got friends I need to give my Hershey's kisses to. And those ten, but see, the Lord, He's the owner of the Hershey factory. And there's a lot more where that came from. And the next day He'll come and give you 500. And if you give, you know, the 50 or whatever, then He'll come back with 1,000. That's just the way the Lord works. You cannot outgive God. I think it was Billy Graham that coined that phrase. You cannot outgive God. And I've found that to be true, absolutely true. And so, what do? Bring the tithes into the storehouse. Really important. So what will He do? So what we need is to draw near, number one. Number two, what we've done, if we're not careful, we've robbed God of the tithe. What to do? bring the tithes weekly into the storehouse. That's just coming to church, giving the tithe as unto the Lord in the context of the church congregation. By the way, you know, you say, well, Brett, what is Athey Creek going to do with all the money? Well, one of the things you need to understand is when I give to the Lord, I have to make sure that the church that I'm giving to is wise with the money. That's an important thing. And for anybody who's a tithing person, someone who's saying, man, I'm interested in giving to the Lord, but to make sure that it's a church you can give to and you know what they're going to do with it. That's important, I believe, to be aware. And man, our books are open. If you're a person who wants to know, well, where's that money all going? Man, you can set up a time with Jeff Young and he'll open up the books and say, here's how much we spend on this and that. And every time someone's done that, they've been blown away. How much money this congregation is so great through the tithe of what the Lord belongs to the Lord. There's so many good things. We've got missionaries all over the world that are living there. Tad Marna living in the South Pacific, a full family supporting them and a church over there. It's just a beautiful church, man. If I wish I could transport you guys all over to Natanara Christian Fellowship down in Vanuatu, South Pacific. They're meeting and they're just like this church, only they're running around with sticks and clubs and in the jungle and they're eating this stuff that tastes like pencil erasers and stuff. It's a great church, man. Great church. We're supporting Mike and Kelly Anderson that are down in Brazil and we are the major supporters. We do the primary support for these guys that are actually translating the Bible for a little tribe out in the middle of Brazil that nobody knows their language except Mike and Kelly that are down there living in this little village translating the Bible. We're able to see that. And missions over in Africa, we're supporting Daniel and Elizabeth. Some of you guys have met them. And man, when their church is starving over there, Athey Creek has provided tons and tons of food for our Christian brothers and sisters over. I'm not saying this stuff to brag. I'm just saying tens of thousands of dollars go out of this church constantly supporting and helping Christians around the world. It's a great thing. Not only that, there's people in our congregation that hit hard times. And man, when people's bills aren't being paid, and we like to reserve the right to say, hey, you know, let's not only help you with your bills, but can we help you with why you're at the place you are right now? Why is your heat being turned off this week? And we have paid for people's heat to be turned back on. And instead of just giving somebody a bunch of money, we'll take them down to the grocery store and shop and get piles of groceries for families. We do that all the time at this church, all the time. Sometimes, you know, I'll be on the street and I'll give money to the guy. But let me just tell you, I've kind of learned that sometimes you got to be careful. So what I do is I walk to the guy on the street and say, hey, you know, I need money, you know, and he's got the sign and stuff. And I'll say, hey, I want to give you some money, but can I pray with you? And he's like, oh yeah, okay. And would you just agree with me? Because what I want to pray is that the Lord so much blesses and multiplies this money that you can get back on track and that your life will be blessed. And then I'll also pray that if you buy alcohol with this, that your belly will rot. So let's just agree in prayer, Lord. And the guy's like, ah. You know, but I, Lord, bless this man and may these monies be used for your purpose. And I'll pray blessing. But you know, the thing is, sometimes you don't know how the money's going to be spent. There are times where the Lord has led us to give money to people that were very suspicious. But sometimes you just need to say, Lord, if you're leading us, we're going to follow what you have to do. This church, I'm telling you, not to toot our horn, but I'm just saying through the giving of this congregation and the tithes and offerings, there's been a lot of big help for people. It's been great. Portland needs that. We really do. So all that's to say, ooh, we're running out of time very fast. What will God do? Well, it says right there in verse 10, but also verse 11. Let's back up. Verse 10, prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now here's the thing. The Lord is promising three things. Number one, he'll reward you. He'll reward you. If you give to the Lord that which is already his, he will open the windows of heaven so much that your storehouses can't even fit. And number two, not only will he reward you, but number two, he'll rebuke the devourer. The devourer, who is that? Well, it could be Satan, but it could just be us spending too much on things we can't afford, and you wonder where your money goes, devoured up. The Lord will rebuke that debt devouring situation, and He'll make sure that you're starting to be wise. I think the first step to financial freedom for any Christian is to just be obedient to God's word and tithe. It's that simple. Now, He'll reward you, number one. He'll rebuke the devourer, as it says here in verse 11. But notice, He'll also revive your land. The land here, it says, and the fruit, He will not destroy the fruit of your ground, and you shall not cast the vine, cast her fruit before its time in the field. In other words, the work of your hands, the work that you do, will be productive and fruitful, and the Lord will do it. So if you're a person who's tithing back to the Lord that which is His, not only will He reward you, and rebuke the devourer when you're wondering, where did all my money go? That'll be a gone situation. But the work that you do will be more fruitful than it is in a non-tithing situation. Now let me say this. Man, I know I'm out of time, but this is so important. Do not come out of this service and say, okay, I guess I better tithe and better do this. No, because if you're tithing with an attitude of like, well, I guess Brett's making us tithe. No. That's not the right heart. And I would tell you, do not give. Because that's a waste of time. The Bible tells us, the scriptures declare very clearly in Acts 20:35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It's the truth of the word. And the Bible declares, Jesus said it, that God loves a cheerful giver. And if we're giving begrudgingly, then you should just keep your money. That's not, the point is to give back to the Lord with a child's heart. It's kind of like if the little kid with the 10 Hershey's kisses said, okay, here's your 10 kisses. Is that the point that the father is trying to teach the child? No, the father wants to see his kid say, Dad, you've been so big-hearted to give me this 100%. I'm going to give back to you these 10 Hershey's kisses because if you want them, man, you're so big-hearted and I know you're so benevolent that I can do nothing but just give back to you that which is yours. And man, having a heart like that, it will restore your relationship with the Lord. And it won't just be, oh, I love you, Lord, just in word. But it will be, I love you, Lord, indeed. That's what the Lord's interested in. So I don't want anybody to go home and say, okay, I guess we'll tithe. And I don't want to see a splurge or suddenly a surge in tithing. Our accountant and bookkeepers at the office, oh, wow, Brad, that was great. Can you do that again next Sunday? I don't want that. I don't want that at all. What I want is for you to go and perhaps pray and say, Lord, is anything that Brett said from the scriptures there, from Malachi 3, from Matthew 23:23, from, 1 Corinthians 16:2, is anything from Acts 20:35, is any of that true for me? And frankly, in my relationship with you, have I been stingy? Have I been the little kid that gets the 100 kisses and like, no, Lord? Or am I the person who's just the obedient kid who not only says, Lord, this is yours. Your word tells me this is yours. I'm going to give back to you that which is yours. And do it with a cheerful heart. And to say it's not just going to be a whim or some flying fancy, but it's something that I'm just going to commit to doing to be obedient to God. I'm not saying this stuff because we need your money. I'm saying this stuff because we need to be kids who are obedient to the loving Father who's given us so much to enjoy. So that's why I tell you that. It's not for my blessing or for the church's blessing. It's actually, believe it or not, and I know you might not even believe this, but my heart is sincere. It's that you might be blessed and that your families might be prosperous. And how do I know that'll happen? Because I know it experientially. You cannot outgive God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.